I'm speaking with Hillary Lambert, the steward and director of the Cayuga Lake Watershed Network. She recently sent a letter to the supporters of the Watershed Network, alerting them to the action taken earlier this week by the EPA, the Department of the Army, and the Army Corps of Engineers. These agencies are proposing a rule to rescind the Waters of the U.S. Act that was enacted in 2015. Hillary, thanks for talking with me today.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Waters of the U.S. Act and its significance for Cayuga Lake and the waters that feed into the lake. So, first of all, can you just describe the Cayuga Lake watershed?
Well, the Cayuga Lake watershed is 785 square miles. It consists of all the land and creeks and streams, waterfalls, and wetlands that drain to Cayuga Lake. There's 37 major creeks. People know names like Salmon Creek, Tagana Creek, 6 Mile, Fall Creek, Cascadilla, Yager Creek, and so on. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, hundreds of straight, short streams that sometimes are only seasonal in nature. And in the uplands of the watershed are over 10,000 acres of wetlands, and hundreds of tiny headwater streams that start in the uppermost areas and feed into the big creeks that go to Cayuga Lake. And so those three forms of water, the seasonal streams, the wetlands, and the headwater streams, are what are in danger here from this proposed action.
Can you describe the Waters of the U.S. Act and how it works?
Well, it didn't get very far. It was a really great work by the Obama administration's EPA to attempt to clarify the need to protect these waters, which are used by 117 million people for drinking water and, of course, for ecosystem uses. And protections of these waters had been weakened by a series of lawsuits and a Supreme Court decision in the early 00s under the Bush-Cheney administration, because they had tried then to weaken protections for these waters so that they could be more easily filled in and destroyed by energy interests and other developers. And so the Clean Water Rule, as I call it, of 2015 was passed and ready for application in late 2015, but got stalled immediately by lawsuits and other state actions. So it's just been sitting there, a kind of sitting duck for the Trump administration's new EPA and Army Corps leadership to go after.
So you're saying that the Clean Water Rule was passed in 2015 and it was passed by both houses of Congress?
Yeah, but immediately, as soon as it, I mean, I remember watching it on the news, you know, internet news, getting passed, approved, ready to roll, and then immediately slowed to a stop, so never implemented.
Okay, so the EPA's proposed rule that was rolled out this past Tuesday would recodify the identical regulatory text that was in place prior to the 2015 Clean Water Rule.
Going back to the earlier language essentially opens up these fragile but essential waters to destruction.
And why were you and others in favor of the Waters of the U.S. Act when it was passed?
It was an attempt to re-strengthen the U.S. Clean Water Act, which had been harmed by the decisions made by the Bush administration and the Supreme Court in the early 00s. Mm-hmm. And while it wasn't perfect, it basically, you know, the Clean Water Act originally said all navigable waters of the U.S., and that was are protected by our law. And until the Bush administration, that language was taken to be a sort of grand boilerplate language, meaning all water. But a couple of clever attorneys and others in the Bush administration said, see that word navigable? That means that any waters that you can't float a boat on are not protected by the Clean Water Act. So they then proceeded in these earlier decisions to rule that if it's a wetland and if it's not connected by a nice big navigable stream to flowing waters, then it's not protected. Mm-hmm. And the same thing for headwater streams and the same thing for seasonal streams. And so they, you know, managed to weaken the Clean Water Act that way. And so the Clean Water Rule of 2015 was an attempt to re-strengthen the Clean Water Act by pointing out that these waters, headwaters, wetlands, and seasonal streams were in fact part of Clean Water Act protection.
How has the Waters of the U.S. Act that was passed in 2015 affected the Cayuga Lake watershed?
Well, it mainly gave me reassurance that we had backing to protect the fragile, vulnerable, but resilient system of headwaters and these other waters that are the backbone of the clean water that flows to Cayuga Lake. What people are now pointing out that if it is actively rescinded, we will have lost that potential protection for these veins of our water system, and could lead to, probably will lead to, the next step by the Scott Pruitt's EPA, which is to go into the original Clean Water Act itself and remove protections for these three water body designations. And once they do that, which I was told in a clean water webinar I was on last week, once they do that, which they want to do by the first quarter of 2018, then we will have no federal protection for these water sources. And even if we still have New York state laws protecting them, it will be very hard to enforce that if the federal backup is gone.
Do you talk to other business owners around the lake who were concerned about the requirements of the Clean Water Rule of 2015 and how they might help or hinder their business?
I mainly deal with people, and as head of the Cayuga Lake Watershed Network, with businesses that have already cleaned up their act in earlier decades, thanks to the Clean Water Act, industries who have pipes. Those pipes are permitted and regulated and controlled by DEC with federal oversight by EPA. Mm-hmm. So they are already cleaned up, doing a good job. Same with the municipal and local water treatment plants. They have cleaned up their act. And, people have to keep watching, and if they see problems, they do need to report them or to monitor them as regular volunteer water quality monitors and report all that to DEC. But those businesses are already doing what they should. But, it's concerns like, one of the energy companies wants to put in a big pipeline for fracked gas or for other products across New York State, they are technically subject to protecting the wetlands they propose to go through, the headwater streams they might damage. They're technically supposed to do all that, but we really have to be watching and reporting and submitting comments on any proposed project to make sure that they obey those laws. And so if these laws are weakened or parts of them are removed, then it will be very hard, much harder for us to do that.
Have you talked to different, people who are in charge of sources of drinking water around the lake, such as the Bolton Point, and have they registered any concerns about this possible rule change?
Only 3 days or whatever since Pruitt's EPA and Army Corps of Engineers announced this proposal. I've been waiting for notice that this has been filed in the Federal Register so that we'll have a docket number and be able to start submitting comments. And I and others, this is a nationwide campaign, Clean Water for All, to get comments in to EPA, and apparently they're only going to give us a 30-day comment period, which is very brief. I'm going to be contacting the network's members, people all around Cayuga Lake, businesses, and farmers, and ask them to submit comments stating that this rescind proposal was a bad idea for our water quality.
And how can our listeners learn more about the Waters of the U.S. Act and the actions that the EPA took earlier this week?
Mm-hmm. The quickest way right this minute is to Google Clean Water Rule Rescind, RESCIND, and they will get what they need. By the end of today, Friday, I will have information at our website, which is www.cayugalake.org. Or people can send an email to me, steward, with a D on the end, at cayugalake.org.
Hillary Lambert, a steward and executive director of the Cayuga Lake Watershed Network, thanks very much for talking with me today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
If you would like to submit a comment to the EPA, you can identify it by docket ID number EPA-HQ-OW-2017-0203 at www.regulations.gov. And we'll post this information on our WRFI Community Radio News website under the news heading in the archived edition of this interview.